This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm so glad there were no bye weeks, no breaks. Week 8 is all gas, no breaks, the other kind of breaks. So B-R-E-A-K-S and then B-R-A-K-E-S. Okay, already starting. We're already starting. We're just going to dive right in. It was a nutso day. The early round of games, other than the Lions and the Eagles, every other game was tight until the end. And if I'm not mistaken, all of the other early games were decided by a single score. So that was nutso down to the end. And then we get into the later round of games. And remember, again, no byes, which means everybody's playing this weekend. And so it was a full slate. And so you've got four games in the afternoon window, late afternoon window, excuse me. And those are games that feature the defending Super Bowl champion Chiefs, who are trying to go 7-0. The only team, of course, in the NFL that's still undefeated. You've also got other storylines coming from the AFC West. But the game that you all picked as the after-hours game of the week is the Commanders and the Bears. And the funny thing is, this game was not a showcase for offense in any way, shape, or form. Both teams ran the ball pretty well. In fact, the Bears had nearly 200 yards rushing, and the Commanders had 168 rushing yards. But it was not a great offensive game. This wasn't the high-flying, dazzling, highlight reel game that many people thought we might get from these two quarterbacks. They did make some throws, but Caleb Williams did more running than he did accurately throwing the football. And there were so many missed opportunities for the Commanders that you wondered if they had left their six completely exposed. Turns out they did. And so it wasn't this great showcase for the two quarterbacks. I can imagine there were people that maybe even turned the game off or turned to a different game, Bills Seahawks, although that was a bit of a blowout. But if you stuck through to the end, well, then you got the payoff. Just a reminder of why we love football. Again, you picked this game as the after-hours game of the week, and it did not disappoint. The final act of this movie absolutely gripped you and made you yell or made you punch someone. Or if you're a Bears fan or maybe a fan of a different team in the NFC East, this was a punch to the gut. I mean, it was that stark, the distinction between the emotional reaction from people who are rooting for the Commanders versus the Bears. And it happens so quickly, of course, because that's what a Hail Mary does. It's a low percentage play, but man, when it is successful, it's unforgettable. But this game, neither team scored more than 20 points. The two teams combined had fewer points than the Lions had, all by themselves. And they weren't the only ones. The Bears, the Eagles also had great offensive days. But this was the game because it was still hanging in the balance. As Jaden Daniels is scrambling for 13 seconds and then heaving a ball from his own 35-yard line. Jaden Daniels, did I say Caleb? Okay, good. I've got so much stuffed in my brain. But Jaden is able to just keep moving around, evading, escaping. There wasn't a serious Chicago pass rush, of course, because that's not how you defend a Hail Mary attempt. But there were a couple of Bears that were working toward getting to him. He got a couple of good blocks in front of him to allow him to stall until his targets could get downfield, and then bam, he just launches that puppy, and it's almost played perfectly by the Bears defense, almost, but almost doesn't count in football. Now, we're going to get to that game, of course, because it was terrific. But I have to tell you, just because it's funny, if you have not seen my Twix page in the last few hours, let's say going back to the end of Commanders and Bears, I will readily admit that I thought twice. I actually did think to myself, well, maybe you better wait until you post that tweet. And then I thought, nah, what are the odds? So I'm not going to tell you now. I'll give you a chance to go find it at A-Law Radio. Trust me, you cannot miss it. It's only been viewed 40,000 times, because that's what happens when you mess up. But that's all I'm going to say. And here's the thing. I am not going to delete it because the replies are hysterical. They're hysterical. Of course, I watched through the end of the game, and of course, I was premature in my tweeting, but it's absolutely part of the NFL that keeps us coming back, is that you think you know. In the final 30 seconds, you think you know, and sometimes you don't know jack. So you can check it out. You can laugh at my expense because I couldn't care less. It's football on social media. There are far more important things in life. And I actually think it's okay to mess up now and then. And it's really okay to laugh at yourself. So I no longer, maybe it's after 25 years in this business. Maybe it's because I'm old. Maybe it's because I just don't take myself that seriously. I'm going to leave it up there and allow people to send their emojis and send their replies and just have a laugh at my expense. That's okay. So again, at A-Law Radio, it's funny. Trust me, you'll love it. And then also on our Facebook page, at some point during the show, we'll get to your Monday MVP candidate. I would love it if you all chose Noah Brown, although he was just back there minding his own business. Jaden had to do all the hard work before they got to that point. And of course, we've got so much to talk about. So again, at A-Law Radio or our Facebook page, we'll give your Monday MVP poll. We're going to talk about Sunday Night Football here coming up. We're also going to talk about the World Series. Man, the emotional spectrum fully in play in Los Angeles in the first two games. I could start talking about that now and probably not stop until the end of the segment. So I'm just going to put the kibosh on it. But I hope you enjoyed the first two installments of Dodgers and Yankees, and plenty of twists and turns and dramatic pivots, if you will. Dramatic kind of rise and fall, depending upon your perspective and who you were cheering for. But so far, so good in terms of delivering on that stage. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I hope you had a great weekend. I'm so glad to connect with you. Do you know that this week is November 1st? What? How is that possible? Remind me, I probably won't get to it tonight. There's a lot that I probably won't get to tonight, like the fact that the Indiana Fever fired their head coach, or I guess the proverbial parting of ways. But remind me to tell you, when I asked my elementary school kiddos in church on Sunday morning, hey, does anyone know what's coming up this week? Well, their answers were decidedly hilarious. As hilarious as me prematurely tweeting before the end of the Bears and Commanders game. All right, let's talk about Cowboys and Niners on Sunday Night Football, because this barely missed out. And maybe it's indicative of where these two teams are right now, but it barely misses out as your choice for After Hours game of the week. Not only because these two teams bring massive fan bases and massive followings, but because no matter what the Cowboys do, they are going to be a story. And honestly, I think people like it more when they're losing. Maybe everybody except for the Dallas fan base. Certainly, it's one of those teams that's polarizing from top to bottom. Now, as for the Niners, they've had plenty of angst over the last 5 years. Even though they've been a winning franchise and a winning team, they've had a ton of angst. And so there are a lot of people that would love to see them get back to a Super Bowl and actually win it. But neither one of these teams can be thinking anything about playoffs right now because they're just too busy trying to pull themselves out of the muck. So the Cowboys on the road at San Francisco, the start of this stretch out of their bye in which they have a really tough buzzsaw to face. They've got division leaders, they've got playoff teams, and they've not fared well against San Francisco in the Bay Area now for quite a while. And what we see early on for the Cowboys is yet another Dak Prescott interception. So this continues to be a problem for Dak and a problem for the Cowboys. And I dare say, if you're a better team, like last year, now he didn't throw nearly as many last year, but if you're a better team and you have a better defense, like they did the last couple years, well, interceptions aren't as big a deal, especially if you're being aggressive, if you're trying to force the issue, and if you've got the defense and your own points to be able to make up for that. They don't have that kind of margin of error this season.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dak throws an interception on the second possession and wastes an opportunity. However, is still up 10-6 at half because they're able to put together back-to-back scoring drives. And one of them was a really healthy mix. They keep the ball for 6.5 minutes, do the Cowboys. It's 11 plays. They're working in Dalvin Cook, who's now playing for them for the first time. They're able to establish the run a little bit. Not great. They still don't have a run game that you're worried about. But Ezekiel Elliott's taking handoffs, and he finally gets into the end zone. And Dallas also prevents a fourth down conversion by the Niners middle of the second quarter. So what the Cowboys are wanting to do is to be able to take away the Niners' best options, right, and use a D that's been banged up and is still missing guys, try to contain Brock Purdy so he's not running all over the place, which he's been doing more this season, but also put your own points on the board. But as I say, you don't have much of a margin for error this year if you're the Dallas Cowboys. So I heard a conversation with Fred Warner after the game on Westwood One, and he indicated that there weren't a whole lot of adjustments for them at halftime, but they did kind of come together and talk about the fact that they were playing way below their standards, and they just had to clean it up a little bit. They just had to be a little more disciplined and take care of the details, the minor details, if you will. So the Niners come out of the halftime locker room motivated and barely give up the ball in the third quarter. I heard the numbers. I couldn't regurgitate them for you because they're not stuck in my head. I didn't write them down because I was driving. But they had the ball for, I think, 11 or 12 minutes of that. Maybe it's 11 and a half minutes of that third quarter. And they produce, again, a bit of a run here that comes around another Dak Prescott interception. And so they're able to score on their opening possession of the second half, but it's not just that. They take advantage of the fact that the Cowboys' offensive drives are short, and they're able to put pressure on the Cowboys' defense to kind of wear them out.
They put it on the four after a 43-yard dash by Kittle. Juszczyk goes in motion, handoff to Garrido, straight ahead, touchdown! Francisco! Isaac Garrido's first touchdown in the NFL. Here's Here's Brock under center. Durando the long back to Purdy. Plunge. He'll take it. Goal line. Is Purdy in? Right up against the goal line. Touchdown! San Francisco! The Brock Purdy plunge.
Ha! Three straight touchdown drives. That's Greg Papa on the Niners radio network. Again, a second Dak interception, which in and of itself doesn't always mean, you know, a nail in your coffin. But in this particular case, it led to a touchdown for the Niners. And in the middle of all of this, so this third quarter that was dominated by San Francisco, in the middle of this is a George Kittle who is running roughshod. So before the Isaac Garendo touchdown, he has this amazing catch and run. He just got guys banging off of him. He's a buzzsaw. He's really tough when he wants to be. And so he catches a short pass in the middle. He works his way to the outside. He takes defenders with him. He goes 43 yards and he puts them on the 4-yard line. So that type of toughness and grit, even though they're still without, well, they're going to be without Brandon Ayuk. They don't have Juwan Jennings, but Deebo Samuel was back. I know he looked a little bit out of sorts at the beginning, but he worked his way in. They lost Jordan Mason to an injury, so it's Isaac Garendo who's having to pick up a yeoman's share of the work in the run game. And then there's George Kittle on National Tight End Day, who's just kicking butt and taking names. That's what he does. And he also has a touchdown catch in there as well. So they end up with those three scoring drives in the third quarter that really flips this game on its head. So the Niners are leading the Cowboys 27-10 into the fourth quarter. And I don't know if it was a breakdown for San Francisco as much as it is the ability of these Cowboys when they're paying attention to details, right? When they've got protection from the offensive line, when Dak isn't airmailing passes or being careless with the ball, they do still have some weapons and they've got what is a very, well, should be a very productive combo between Dak and CeeDee Lamb.
Second and goal at the 7. Snap is back, looking around. Prescott wide floats open. It down to a wide-open CeeDee Lamb on the left side of the end zone. Touchdown, Cowboys. First down at the 20.
Excuse me, they got Ferguson over to Bosa's side on the right side of the Cowboys' offense. Now he's moving out.
3:40 left, Prescott back, looking, throwing deep middle. There's a man, Lamb again, touchdown.
I'm telling you, it's doable.
CeeDee Lamb is wide open a couple of times, as in there was a blown coverage. I know on one of those touchdowns, two defenders ran into each other, but it was kind of crazy to see wide receiver one so completely wide open in this game in the fourth quarter when the Niners are trying to protect a lead. So San Francisco is able to add a field goal and stays out in front, but also, even as Dak, I mean, this is what the Cowboys do, right? They score late, they pile up a bunch of yards and points, they make it look like it's closer, but San Francisco does the bend but don't break.
They're going to go forward on fourth down on their own 25-yard line. Here's the game. Maybe the season for each team. Dak in the gun, 3 left, Ferguson the tight end right. CD 4 are left, including CD. Dak chased out of there by Leonard Floyd. Throws down the right sideline. Incomplete! The Niners take over on downs.
Me personally frustrated. Frustrated myself that my play. I imagine the rest of the guys are. Not getting a win. Two in a row. Sitting at 3-4. But I can definitely tell you that nobody's shaken or given up. Frustration is very high. But it's a long season. I mean, it's a long season. Division games, a lot are still ahead of us. Frustrated. So that's the best way that I can put it.
And that is the headline. Dak is frustrated, not just with the results, but also with himself. Again, they don't have the margin for error for him to be able to throw two interceptions, if for no other reason than you're wasting possessions. He goes 25 of 38 for 243 yards, couple of touchdowns, the two picks. CeeDee Lamb has nearly 150 yards receiving. They really can't afford to waste a game like that either. And Mike McCarthy continues to be on the hot seat. They've now fallen below 500. And listen to their schedule upcoming. So this is partly because they had such a good regular season schedule a year ago, but also because they're playing the AFC North this season, right? So they've got that part of it too. So here's what's ahead. They've got the Niners. They had the Niners today. They're coming off their bye now. They go on the road to Atlanta, which is a division leader in the NFC South. Then they're back home to take on the Eagles and the Texans in back-to-back weeks. One of those being, I think it's a Monday night game against Houston. Then they're on the road at the Commanders. I mean, this is another month plus for Jaden Daniels to continue to learn the NFL. They get a bit of a reprieve with Giants, Bengals, and Panthers. But that'll be followed up by a game against the Bucks, who are no doubt going to be fighting for a playoff spot at that point. And then they finish out in the NFC East. So when Dak says that they've still got opportunities, that is true. But at the same time, they have other competition in their own division. I mean, right now the Commanders are on top of the NFC East and the Philadelphia Eagles are in second place. And so you're digging a deeper hole and hoping that you can make something happen moving forward. As for the Niners, you guys are going to be blown away by this stat because it blew me away when I heard it. If you're worried about the Niners, and they're back to 4-4 now, if you're worried about the Niners, this is what they do in the first couple months of the season. So through week 8 in the last 4 years, they are 16-16. Okay, so through week 8, 16-16 over the last 4 seasons, which of course is all Kyle Shanahan. Some Brock Purdy, some Jimmy Garoppolo, again, a sprinkling of Trey Lance. But this is in their heyday where they've been competing for the NFC championship. So they go 16-16 in the first 8 weeks of the season. Then, get this, their record, now we don't know about this year, but their record in the last 3 seasons after week 8, 23-4. That's incredible. I mean, that's really about, it's almost like AI learning from your mistakes. So we'll get a little more reaction from the Bay Area, including Kyle Shanahan, as well as Trayvon Diggs blowing up at a reporter, but not because what the reporter said, but because of what he posted online. See what I mean? People take football on Twitter way too seriously. And to that end, I know many of you are finding the tweet that I refused to delete from earlier on Sunday afternoon. You guys, we're most of the way through week 8, which means we're approaching the midway point in the NFL. Of course, we've got World Series this week as the scene will shift to New York. We've got Bears and Commanders to talk about, which we'll do after the bottom of the hour. 855-212-4227 at A-Law Radio. So glad to have you with us. Hope you enjoyed your weekend. And boom, we're back together again here in After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
They're going to go for it on fourth down on their own 25-yard line. Here's the game. Maybe the season for each team. Dak in the gun, 3 left. Ferguson the tight end right. CD 4 are left, including CD. Dak chased out of there by Leonard Floyd. Throws down the right sideline. Incomplete. The Niners take over on downs.
Third quarter was obviously a factor in the outcome. The 3-3 announcement offense and, the one giveaway and obviously, their point and really production there. But, yeah, I mean, you have ebb and flows of the game. We definitely stayed in that valley way too long.
It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody on After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This is the situation the Cowboys have put themselves in because of the injuries to the defense, in part because of the mistakes and the missed opportunities at home. They've been blown out in their games at home. They just don't have any margin for error anymore. You have to be damn near perfect, especially when you're on the road in a tough place to play where you don't have great success, great recent success. And even if it's just those two turnovers, how differently things could have worked out. The Niners scored one touchdown after the second Dak interception, but even just the thought of missing out on those possessions for the Cowboys that just can't afford to come up empty on offensive possessions. They're just not that kind of team anymore. They end up rushing for just 56 yards. And I know they were trailing pretty drastically in the third quarter. And so that would kind of get them away from the run game, trying to make up ground pretty quickly. But the Niners, that one big quarter, able to be the quarter in which they plant their flag in the turf and say, we're moving on to 4-4. 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. The Brock Purdy question continues to boggle my mind. I think he's steady. I think he's got some great skills. Is he, trying to think of a good comparison, of like a really athletic quarterback? I mean, is he Jaden Daniels? No. Is he, although he's got more experience, is he a guy who's going to dazzle you on most nights? No. He's steady and he's terrific at distributing the football, and they are working more run plays into his repertoire and into the game plan, but also he's scrambling as well. I think that comes with the experience. No one wants to see Brock Purdy run because he's really good at it. 8 official carries in this game for 56 yards. He did get on into the end zone. He did get a rushing touchdown there in that third quarter. He's become a dangerous guy with the football as well, like a Deebo Samuel, like Jordan Mason, not quite like Christian McCaffrey, but we haven't seen Christian McCaffrey this season. And so Brock is, maybe you know what it is that you're dealing with. He's not nearly as high reward, but he's also not as high risk. And when he stays within the confines of the game plan and does what works best for the Niners, he's terrific. And you really couldn't ask for much more. I think he's perfect for Kyle Shanahan's offense. And clearly, they know what they've got in Brock Purdy. Now they're sitting at 4-4. And as I say, they're much better in the second half of the season. So Brock goes 18 of 26 for 260 with a couple of touchdowns.
It was a gut check for him. I mean, for all of us, you know, things in the first half, you know, we were close, but it didn't go great. Brock, there's a couple of plays I know he'd love to have back. And I thought he came out in the second half, and there's a few plays that weren't there, and he did a hell of a job extending with his feet. The one in particular, trying to throw a screen to Deebo, and the DN peeled with it, and which is, means you have no play, and he just ran and turned it into a 16-yarder. So he did some real big things there in the second half.
Yeah, I think Brock is, like many quarterbacks, is looking different when you're missing, or when he's missing, excuse me, he's missing some of his top targets or some of his top weapons around him. And guys have been in and out of the lineup on and off the field, other than Christian, who still hasn't played. Jordan Mason goes down in this game. They have a rookie running back in Isaac Garendo. So it's been a revolving door around him. Remember, he's still a pretty young quarterback. I think Brock is solid. I think he's steady. And I think at times he gets a little inaccurate at times, but he can be on the money. And he is now dangerous more and more with his ability to scramble and his ability to run the ball. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. This was really a change at halftime. And I told you what I heard from Fred Warner on Westwood One. Kyle Shanahan said, we didn't really have a message. We just recognized we weren't playing as well as we needed to.
Stop having penalties. Stop having penalties. There was no message. It was, we got to stop hurting ourselves. We had, I think, 7.5 yards of play in the first half, and had a bunch of big penalties that I thought really hurt us. You know, Debo's obvious one getting called back, a couple of the holdings on some long runs. And then, you know, missing that fourth down was big. We felt we were doing some good stuff, but we hurt ourselves. And it was nice to start off in the third quarter and go down and score right away. And D started rolling. I think we got a turnover the next drive and did it again, and got on a little groove there for a little bit.
Yeah, helped with the turnover. Helped with, in their case, the takeaway. In the case of the Cowboys, it's a giveaway. And that's exactly what it is. It's a freebie here. It's a freebie. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Before we get to our update, you may or may not remember the name Mike Leslie. He's been on the show before, but also he is a reporter in the Dallas area. He's a sports anchor and reporter at WFAA in Dallas. And he's he's great. I'm a big fan of Mike Leslie. He listens to the show on a pretty regular basis. Well, he was covering the Cowboys in the Bay Area, and he posted a tweet about the Cowboys' pass defense, the Cowboys about, I'm trying to think of the, I'm looking back at his tweet so I make sure I don't have, if I don't have the, like the exact tweet, but he was posting about, he had during the game said, what is Trayvon Diggs doing on this play, right? So he shares a video, and it is actually the way that he played George Kittle, if I remember correctly. And so he shares a video, and he asks this question of, what is Trayvon Diggs doing on this play? Well, somehow Trayvon finds out about this tweet. So must have been in the locker room. So this is in the bowels of the stadium. Must have been in the locker room looking, or the other thing that is possible is that he picks up his phone and he's got a bunch of screenshots from friends, family, people who've seen the tweet and are incensed on his behalf, or just can't wait to let him know that he's been dissed by a local anchor and reporter. And so Mike Leslie's standing behind the ropes down underneath the stadium. Diggs comes out of the locker room to approach Mike Leslie about the tweet. I've seen the whole exchange. In fact, Mike shared it. And he takes Mike Leslie to task for criticizing him, and keeping in mind, of course, that they're frustrated because they've now fallen below 500 and their defense is unable to hold the lead, blah, blah, blah.
Out of that whole play, that's what you took from that? You don't know football. You can't do nothing that I do. You can't go out there and do nothing. Stay in your lane, buddy. Stop playing me, bro.
Just asking a question, Trayvon. I mean, I'm happy to have you answer the question.
That's what you got from that? That whole play, that's what you got from that?
I'm asking. We can talk about it more.
So Trayvon Diggs walks away. You can kind of hear his voice fade. He walks away after dropping a couple of expletives. Mike continues to say, again, I've seen the whole exchange, hey, I'm just asking a question. I want you to answer the question. Would you like to answer the question? So then, as Trayvon is almost into the locker room, he comes back out again. You don't hear this there, but he comes back out again, and he continues to kind of jaw at Mike. Mike remaining composed, no doubt recognizing this is going to be social media gold. It's going to go viral. And before Diggs goes back into the locker room, he says something along the lines of, how about you comment on D's nuts? And then turns around and walks into the locker room. So Mike, right after that, I mean, he in his words, on his account, he explains what happens. He agrees with Trayvon that he doesn't know football and can't do what Trayvon does. But then his last post a couple hours ago, so again, it was not long after the exchange, I do not have a comment about D's nuts. So Mike Leslie, thank you for the entertainment. It was one of those moments that you knew was going to make headlines. But again, chalking up to the fact that Diggs is frustrated, like the rest of the Cowboys are frustrated. Just wrong time to be interacting with a reporter and getting defensive, like Jerry Jones did 2 weeks ago, right? Because that's what people are going to latch onto, and it's going to be all the way around the globe by the time Diggs wakes up in the morning, and he may not even be asleep. They may be on their way back to Dallas, and he may be watching all the replies come in at A-Law Radio, because I've seen a bunch of replies come into, we'll call it a premature tweet during Bears and Commanders. I'm not deleting it because I do not take myself that seriously, and I'm not going to explode on anyone. You can go check it out because it's funny. It will give you a laugh. And coming up, we will get to the game you chose as the after hours game of the week. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network Sports Flash.
This report is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with life, electronic device, and pet health insurance. Let's begin with Sunday Night Football.
Third and goal, 2 yard line. Christian McCaffrey looking from the Niners sideline. Last year, the best red zone offense in football, 67%. This year, 45%. Brock in the gun. They have Conley out wide right, three or left. Brock looking right, going to throw wide open. George Kittle, touchdown!
George Kittle.
Greg Papa on 49ers Radio. The Niners beat the Cowboys 30-24. Brock Purdy threw for 260 yards and a touchdown, along with a touchdown run. Elsewhere on the scoreboard, the Chiefs over the Raiders 27-20, Broncos 28, Panthers 14. Commanders beat the Bears 18-15. Jaden Daniels, a 52-yard Hail Mary touchdown pass to Noah Brown with no time remaining. It was the Bills over the Seahawks 31-10, Chargers 26, Saints 8. Eagles beat the Bengals 37-17, Falcons 31, Bucks 26. The Patriots beat the Jets 25-22. Cardinals over the Dolphins 28-27. Packers 30, Jaguars 27. The Texans over the Colts 23-20. Lions 52, Titans 14. The Browns over the Ravens 29-24. NBA scoreboard, the Clippers over the Warriors 112-104. Thunder 128, Hawks 104. Blazers 125, Pelicans 103. Nets beat the Bucks 115-102. The Sixers beat the Pacers in overtime 118-114. Tyrese Maxey pumped in 45 points. NHL scoreboard, the Avalanche over the Senators 5-4. Canadians beat the Flyers 4-3. Devils beat the Ducks 6-2. In overtime, it was the Oilers over the Red Wings 3-2. Now to NASCAR at Homestead. Tyler Reddick, your winner. Ryan Blaney came in second. Denny Hamlin finished third. In golf, Nico Echeverria won the Zozo Championship. He finished 20 under. I'm Peter Schwartz.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call, 855-212-4227.
The field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
Yeah, here we are on a Sunday night, ushering in a new work week and also ushering in the final few days of October. Halloween is on the way. Goodness, we're just over a week away from Election Day. This is a lot to start November, but also I just can't believe we're about to start November. We'll likely clown. We may clown one too. We'll likely clown a World Series champion in the next 5 days. Maybe we'll see the Yankees force this back to LA, and we'll try to cross our fingers, knock on wood, all those types of things, in order to get a game 7 of a World Series. That'd be terrific. If you hadn't heard, by the way, Shohei Ohtani is playing in game number 3. It was a minor dislocation of his shoulder. Yeah, I don't know what's minor about that, but it was. And so he is expected, thankfully, with the day off, to be able to get out there and hit again and maybe run the bases. Maybe not needing to steal when you're up 4-1 in the late stages, but whatevs. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence at A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. All right, let's talk about Bears and Commanders and a game featuring the top two quarterbacks selected in the most recent draft. You know all the storylines. It was 9-0 Washington at the half, as in 9-0. They were 0-for-3 in the red zone. The Commanders could not get into the end zone. They had over 100 yards rushing, but they were 2-for-6 on third down and just unable to capitalize against that Bears defense. But the Bears weren't much better. Caleb Williams, he was 3-for-8 passing in the first half with 29 rushing yards. Washington did it again to start the second half and goes up 12-0 when Chicago forces a 3-and-out. So this is where you start to feel things change just a little bit. DeAndre Swift then rumbles 56 yards for a touchdown. He gets around the left side and just trucks up the sideline. And so at that point, this is still a Commander's house and people are real excited, but maybe, just maybe, the momentum was starting to shift. So it's 12-7. Haha. That's a bad baseball score. It's 12-7 to start the fourth quarter, and Chicago drives into the red zone. Swift is gashing defenders again. He's finding space, or he's dragging guys with him. Caleb Williams is working the ball around. They get on the 1-yard line. And he fumbles a handoff to to an O-lineman, right, to someone who's not typically used to hanging on to the football or running the football, but they're trying to force it in from the one-yard line. Well, there's a fumbled handoff. It's recovered by Washington. Imagine how that felt. Kind of a gut punch. The Commanders were able to take that ball away and keep the Bears out of the end zone again. But then the offense goes nowhere. So once again, the Bears defense coming up with a huge stop and putting the ball back in the hands of Williams. So Chicago gets the ball with 4.5 minutes to go. It's like a second chance, a chance at redemption. And it's a 10-play drive. And they get into the red zone, back on the one-yard line again.
Bears have 3 timeouts. They're on their feet here in Washington. There's a bunch of nervous Nellies in here right now, baby. Both Bears and Washington fans.
There's 5 in this booth.
Second and goal, the 1 with 27 ticks to go. Bears down 5 under center. Caleb Williams, deep back. Roschon, take, turn, give. Roschon Johnson, plowing,
touchdown,
turning.
Touchdown.
He is in for the touchdown. Touchdown, Bears. Off the right side of the offensive line and 23 seconds to go.
Jeff Joniak and company on Bears Radio. So, yes, with 25 seconds left, again, it's like redemption. Roschon Johnson is able to get into the end zone. If at first you don't succeed. Now, I thought about tweeting something similar to that. I thought about tweeting about the mini redemption here for the Bears and feeling like this was a huge step forward for them. And so I put my tweet together and I went ahead and I posted it because there were 25 seconds left. And what are the chances that anything changes before the end of the game? Oh, I'm sorry. Would you like to know what the chances are that something changes before the end of the game, Amy?
Bears have 8 deep, 4 of them at the goal line. They bring 3. Daniels backing up. He's just going to have to let one fly. Goes to the right side. Steps away from the defenders. Gives himself some time. Now steps up, fires. Heads towards the end zone. It is
I really don't understand a whole lot until the end. It actually sounds like we're bringing you a touchdown call from another culture in a different language because it's just a bunch of yelling and screaming, which is hysterical because that really does reflect the spirit, the energy, and the excitement of the Commanders fan base after all these years and a long wait. So that is phenomenal, right? Because Jaden Daniels has to extend the play long enough for his receivers to get all the way downfield. So they snap about midfield or so. In the meantime, he's dropping back, he's evading, he's escaping. Now, it's not like heavy pressure. It's a couple of Bears who are trying to get to him, trying to keep him contained, trying to at least run interference so that either the clock had run out. Either he doesn't have a clear shot down the field or he really can't get any... And he can't get a whole lot of distance on it because he's having to throw it at an odd angle. But the last Chicago defender to get near him gets blocked to the ground. And after 13 seconds, Jaden Daniels has an opportunity to launch. And launch he does. And it flies and drops just shy of the goal line where you've got the big scrum of bodies. It gets tipped up in the air and comes down behind the scrum to a wide open Noah Brown, who's just chilling. He's chilling like a villain. It might be the, I don't want to say the most stress-free Hail Mary you'll ever see, but the catch was in no way a difficult catch. He didn't have to wrestle it away from anyone. He didn't have to fight anyone for it. He was just standing back there. He was the back guy waiting for the ball should it come out his way. And it fell right into his breadbasket. Now, good for Noah Brown. I can imagine there would be times where that would be a bit of a surprise that the ball's coming at you. You got to be ready. You got to focus. You can't take your eyes off of it. You really got to be locked in. But the ball kind of softly floated down to him, and he was able to corral it for the touchdown. That's the Commanders radio version. We'll give you the Bears radio version and the reaction to Week 8's Hail Mary in D.C. coming up next after Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.